Well, I couldn't remember how long ago that was. I remember it was long enough that some of the young teenagers and younger, when I first started coming here, are now grandmothers. So that gives you some idea. And I had little children about that high, and now I'm a great-grandfather. So that goes back a number of years. But we do have many wonderful, precious memories of times here, and it's good to be back. We appreciate the pastors that have served this church and pray for those churches who are looking for a pastor. There are many of our churches that throughout this land that are in need of pastoral care. So we need to remember them, and we pray that the Lord would send His pastors, His ministers among His people. Someone asked me, did I work today? And I didn't work today. I spent most of the day sitting at my desk. It's one of those days where studying my Bible, and mine would go from one subject to another and just pray for the leadership of the Spirit. These ministers can tell you that it's a goal, I believe, of every God-called minister, that when he comes before God's people, regardless what he may have studied, regardless of what has been on his mind up to that time, that he may be blessed of God to bring a message that would feed, encourage the Lord's children, and when appropriate, admonish the Lord's children. The subject that I have on my mind, I hope, pray, and trust it is of the Lord, is the subject of Noah. We all know about the ark. We all know about the animals. We know about the rainbow as a sign given from God. But I'd like to look a little bit at Noah himself. The Word of God tells us in Hebrews 11 where we read about the faith of many folks there. That's sometimes called Faith's Hall of Fame. In Hebrews 11:7, we read, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen, as yet moved with fear, things not seen yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became help, heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Now, there's something about the distance between my contact lens and this podium that I have a hard time reading, and I apologize for that. I usually do not have that problem. I noticed it last night, so I changed lens. I thought there's something wrong with my lens, but it's just something about the distance. I don't know what it is, but maybe I'll get through it, and if you'll bear with me. Here we read about the faith of Noah. You remember that there, Noah's day, it was a day of much wickedness upon the earth. And we read that God was not pleased with all that was occurring. We read that God, that the earth was corrupt and filled with violence. We read that the imaginations of man's thoughts, of the thoughts of his heart, was only evil continually. And we read that the Lord was grieved with all that went on, with the sin that was in the world. This was early on, and we read about this back in the book of Genesis. And in the sixth chapter of Genesis, it gives us the details that was of all that was going on. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And then we read that Noah walked with God. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah walked with God. By faith, Noah saved his house. You know, there's an order in things. It didn't begin with Noah's faith. It began with God's grace. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. That's where it began. And when we read about Noah's walking with God, we don't read that Noah walked with God, and as a result, God blessed him with his grace. But we find that the grace of God came first. And so it is in the life of every little child of God. It's of God's grace that we are born of God's Spirit. And it is the new birth that bears or is the source of that faith which every child of God has, and it's that source of faith which Noah had. God told Noah that he would spare the earth for another 120 years. We find that in chapter 6, verse 3. He says, it'll be, yet his days shall be 120 years. We read a little later on that when the flood receded, Noah was 600 years of age. And we read in the preceding chapter that Noah was 500 years old when his three sons were born. So if we use a little math there, Noah began building the ark at about age 480. There was 120 years that God said that he was going to destroy the earth. And he waited while he postponed that judgment while Noah was building the ark. Can you imagine a project lasting 120 years? By faith, Noah, what did he accomplish when he built that ark? He saved his house. Who escaped on the ark when the flood came? Noah and his wife and his three sons and their wives, eight, that God preserved to preserve life upon this earth. Noah spent 120 years building that ark. Can you imagine being one of Noah's sons? He had been working on this ark. If they were born when he was 500 years of age, he had been working on the ark about 20 years when they were born. Can you imagine how tough it would have been to be one of his sons? I imagine that they had a lot of kidding and a lot of ridicule. Noah, the area where he lived, it wasn't on the ocean. It wasn't on the lakes. There wasn't any water around there. Can you imagine a man building a big boat like this ark with nothing around? You know why he built it? Because he listened to God.
That's right.
And he did what God instructed him to do. And you know what Noah did as he built that ark? He built it according to God's pattern.
That's right.
It wouldn't have floated if he'd done it any
That's
other
right.
way. The only, God's pattern is the only pattern for us as God's children.
That's right.
Had Noah deviated from the instructions of God, it would have been a complete failure. But he did. He walked with God. He did as God instructed him to do. He built it out of the very wood that God said to build it out of. He put the number of stories in it that God said to put in it. He built it as long and as wide and as deep as God said to build it. And it floated and it worked and it worked fine. He also pitched it within and without.
That's right.
You know, it probably wasn't a very pretty sight, that ark that he spent 120 years building when he pitched it. Now, I don't believe there was tar back then, but there were trees that they had, a pine tar or pitch that came from the trees. And probably it was a pretty smelly process for him to get the pitch out and to pitch this ark within and without. I'm sure some begin to ridicule him. It didn't look very pretty to the world. Can you imagine all that wood that it was built out of? And then he begins to pitch. God told him to pitch it within and without. And he put the pitch on it within and without. And I'm sure it was sort of a dark, black, pretty ugly appearing vessel with all of that pitch on it. But it kept it from leaking.
Right.
Kept it from leaking. It wasn't pretty to the world. And you know, when we follow God's pattern, when we follow God's pattern in the church, when we follow God's pattern in our families, when we follow God's pattern in our lives, it's not beautiful to the world.
That's right.
But it's what God is pleased
Amen.
With. And Noah, in doing as God told him to do, saved his house.
Right.
He saved his house. What a difference it made. And it didn't leak. You know, when we deviate from God's pattern, there's leaks. There's leaks in our marriages. There's leaks in our families. And if we get far enough away from God's pattern, the boat is sink. We get away from God's pattern in the church, and we don't have the church anymore. It's gone. We've got to follow God's pattern and do it God's way. That's what Noah did, and he saved his house. You know, we're told over in I believe it's the book of Peter, we read about Noah being a preacher of righteousness. In 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, speaking of God, spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. Now, I may have overlooked it. Maybe some of these brethren can correct me, but I don't find where he was a preacher in the sense that he stood before a congregation and ministered. You know how I believe Noah was a preacher of righteousness? Was in the way that he lived his life. He demonstrated righteousness by walking after the ways of God. And in that sense, every one of us should be a minister of righteousness, following after the pattern of God. Noah did what God said to do. He did it as God said to do it. He did it when God said to do it. I'm sure a lot of people didn't understand what Noah was doing. And a lot of people probably laughed at old crazy Noah over there. Been building an ark all these years. I guess it was probably one of the tourist attractions of the day, if they had tourist attractions in that day. Let's go. We want to go by and see where Noah's building the boat over there. We've heard about this over in our region. We want to go see it. And poor old Noah. And I'm sure, as I said, his sons, they probably got in a lot of scuffles, maybe a few fights with folks making fun of their crazy daddy. You see, the world, when you try to walk with God and follow God's direction and God's instruction, the world will ridicule you.
That's right.
You know, some teach that when we begin to walk with God and we try to do the right thing in accordance with the instruction of God's Word, that in life it's just going to get easy. Well, you know what? You go back and check on the life of the Apostle Paul. When he was persecuting God's children, he was liked by the councils. He was liked by those in authority. He had authority. But when God struck him down there on the road to Damascus, and when he said, cried out, "Lord, what will thou have me to do?" Things started getting rough for him. And it got so bad at times, he said he stood alone. No man stood with him, but he said the Lord stood with him. And the Lord's grace, God told him, "My grace is sufficient for thee." When old Paul there, he prayed that God would remove that thorn from his flesh 3 times. We don't know what that thorn was, and I believe there's a reason we don't know. Whatever our thorn is in our flesh, whatever it is that we're dealing with, God's grace is sufficient for it. Some men argue it was a reason that it was blindness. Some say that it was his speech. Some say it was other things. Whatever it was, God's grace was sufficient. And God's grace will be sufficient for us when we walk with the Lord. Sometimes we think, "I can't make a difference. Just one man, just one person, just one mother, just one father, just one teenager, just one child. I can't make a difference. Why? Well, what difference will I make?" But you see, you and I, of ourselves, we're not sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, the Scriptures say, but our sufficiency is of God. And when we set out to do what God would have us do, when we set out to go in the direction that God would have us to go in, when we undertake in our lives what God's Word tells us to undertake and live our lives in accordance with the principles of God's Word, God's grace will be sufficient for us in that. And the Lord will see us through it. I don't know how old Noah gathered all the wood. Can you imagine gathering all that wood and all the labor that it would take? But God gave him a job to do. And God gave him the means to do the job that he gave him to do. I have no idea how he did it, but I think God provided for him. Sometimes we think we're not sufficient to make a difference. You know, I'm reminded of Elijah. You know, Elijah came in a time when there was great wickedness in the land. And Ahab was king. And the Word of God tells us over 1 Kings chapter 16 that Ahab was worse than all the kings that had gone before him. But God told Elijah what to do. And he went in and he stood before a wicked king Ahab. And he delivered the message that God told him to deliver. And then God told him where to go. He said, I want you to leave. I want you to go out by the brook, Cherith. And I want you to stay there. And there was a famine in the land. And there was a shortage of water in the land. But God took care of him. And he gave him all that he needed out there. And eventually the brook dried up. And God told him to go over there to that widow. Remember of Zarephath. And he says, I've got a widow over there that's going to take care of you. Going to provide for your needs. And you remember Elijah went where the Lord said to go. He did what the Lord said to do. And the Lord provided for him. He got there. He came to the city where this widow was. And he met her out picking up sticks. She only was picking up, says, two sticks that she was picking up. She didn't need many, just enough for one little fire. Elijah asked her for a little water. She gave him water. He said, can I have a cake of bread, some bread? And she said, I don't have a cake. I don't have a biscuit. I don't have anything to give you. I've got a little meal and little oil, and I'm picking up these sticks so I can cook something for me and my son to eat. And Elijah said, he began to tell her of the promises of God. And he said, you give me to eat and God will take care of you. And God did. Remember, we all are familiar with the story. The cruse of oil wasted not. The barrel of meal, it was enough. Every day she would go, and there was enough for that day, and there's enough for that day. You know, that's the way God blesses us. God doesn't always give us enough where we can say, well, I've got enough for the rest of my life. I've got enough. I'm secure in my possession. God may just give us enough for today. And our dependence then is upon God and not upon material things. And that's the way it should be in life. There is no security in this life. There is no security in this life except in God, the God of heaven.
Yes.
And so it was with Elijah. Elijah, it didn't rain. He prayed according to the will of God, as God told him to. And it didn't rain, what, for over 3 years there. And he prayed and God sent rain. Well, Jezebel wanted to take his life. You think Elijah was someone really strong and somebody really special? Word of God tells us he's a man of like passions like as we are. He had doubts just like we do. He had discouragements just like you and I do. You remember after he stood there before all the prophets of Baal and he rebuilt the altar of God and the call, he prayed to God and God sent fire down and it consumed the offering, it consumed the rocks, it consumed the water in the ditch, barrels of water they had poured after all that was consumed and the prophets of Baal were slain. And Jezebel said, I'm going to have your life by this time tomorrow. Elijah ran for his life. He got out there in the desert. And you remember he laid down under a tree. And he just prayed to God to let him die. He was so discouraged. He was so low. He prayed to God, just let me go. Let me die. But God sent an angel to him. You remember he woke him up, gave him something to eat. And he lay back down again. And God sent the angel. The angel came a second time and said, arise and eat. And he gave him nourishment. And he traveled in the nourishment of that food. I think it's some 40 days, as scriptures say. The blessing of God. It wasn't that Elijah was some special individual. It wasn't that Noah was some special individual. They just obeyed God and did what God directed them to do. And God blessed them in the process. And so Noah saved his house. He saved his family. His faithfulness blessed his family. A preacher of righteousness. You know, I read recently about an individual by the name of George Fox, I believe was his name. He served in World War I. And when there was an attack on Pearl Harbor, he had studied to be an accountant, but he'd given up his accounting and he had gone into preaching. He served in the Methodist Church. And when the Second World War broke out, he told his wife, he said, the boys need me. I've been there. I know what they're going through. He said, I'm going to enlist. And he enlisted as a chaplain. And he and three other chaplains were on a ship, the Dorchester, traveling in the North Atlantic in those cold, frigid waters that you can't survive in. And the Japanese submarine torpedoed the ship. And when the torpedo struck, there were explosions in their life rafts and their life jackets. Many of them were burned up and lost. And out of the 900 soldiers that were on that ship, less than 300 of them survived. But George Fox and the other three chaplains, Fox set the example, the survivor's tale. He took his life jacket and he gave it to one of the younger soldiers, and the other chaplains did too. And then they gathered together on the deck of those that had no means of escape, and they joined together in prayer. Now, that man by his actions preached a real sermon of righteousness there. And he wrote a letter, I've got noted here, a letter he wrote to his daughter that arrived and received by her after his death. And he said, I want you to know how proud I am that your marks in school are so high. But always remember that kindness and charity and courtesy are much more important. What a message. Don't you know that she remembered that all her life? Her father that says these are the things that are important. He taught her that which was important in life. He set a good example for her. We preach by the example we set. These mothers and fathers and grandmothers and grandfathers and all that are connected to families and to children, they're watching you every day. And they see how you're living your life. And our lives can be lived in a way that sets an example that encourages them in their walk with the Lord. We can all be preachers of righteousness in that way. And when we try to live as God would have us to live and as God instructs us to live, you see, God's Word addresses every aspect of life. It tells us what kind of father to be. It tells us how to raise our children. It tells us what kind of husband and what kind of wife to be. It tells us what kind of child to be, what kind of employer to be, what kind of employee to be, what kind of neighbor to be, what kind of citizen to be, whatever roles we may fill in life, God's Word instructs us in it. And we follow God's way, and God will bless us in it. It's not going to always be easy. There will be storms. I heard a song yesterday, the words caught me, my emotions so much. It said that sometimes he calms the storms, sometimes he calms me. But he's there with us one way or the other, isn't he? The Lord said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. Noah saved his house, his family. They were delivered by the blessing of God through his faithfulness to do what God told him to do. When God said to do it, as God said to do it, I'm sure it wasn't an easy job. Can't imagine what a hard job it would be. And doing things God's way is not always, it's not the easy way. Most of the time, it's the more difficult way, but it's the right way. The way that honors and glorifies God and pleases God. Follow the pattern of God in every aspect of our life. There's a deliverance in that. There's a joy in that. There's a blessing in that that we won't find in anything else. God's way is the way for God's children. God's way. The way that gives God the credit for all of our blessings. The way that is thankful to God for all that He's done for us. How richly blessed we are. You know, we're blessed. Blessed are the people, the Scriptures say, that know the joyful sound. What a blessing it is to have the peace of knowing the truth of the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I can't imagine what a burden it would be to bear to think that one little child of God could miss their eternal home in heaven because I failed to do something to convince them to meet some condition to get them into heaven. I'm thankful to know the truth is taught in God's Word, that salvation is of the Lord, it's by the grace of God, that Jesus Christ paid the sin debt for us, and it's all of God. What a joy to know, not only for ourselves, but to know that that is in the hands of God, and it is God's children are safe and secure, and that every child of God will be in heaven. Not every child of God lives as faithful as Noah did. Not every child of God hears the gospel and is blessed to know the joyful sound. Not every child of God walks in obedience, and those that do don't always walk in obedience. There's none righteous. God's Word said, no, not one, but we have a Lord and a Savior, Jesus Christ, the sinless Lamb of God that paid the sin debt for us. What a joy it is to know the gospel sound. How thankful are we to be blessed to know and see the truths of that's taught in God's Word rather than the message that men devise and come up with that scare people, that discourage people. Oh, I know that there are doctrines that appeal to the pride of men. And man likes to claim credit for what God has done. But let's remember as Noah. Noah had faith. Why? Because he had been born of God's Spirit. And Noah had the capacity to walk with God and exercise that faith because he was a child of God. We read about men like Noah and Elijah and about the faithful women and the faithful men of the Bible, they're like you and me. They looked to God for direction. They listened to God. They prayed to God. They prayed for the direction of God's Spirit. They prayed that God would show them the way to go and help them make their choices in life. They prayed that God would help them be what He would have them to be and would show them the way to go. And you and I can do that too. And there's a salvation in it. Just as Noah's family was blessed by his obedience, our families too in this life. And those that know us in love, and those that we know in love, will be blessed in the obedience in the family. Patch the leaks. Patch the leaks in your lives. Patch the leaks. Pitch inside and out. Keep the things of the world like the water's kept on the outside of the ark. Keep the things of the world on the outside and the things of God on the inside of your lives. And God will bless you in it. I thank you for your day.
Amen. Amen. We can work.